Tomorrow's a big day for a lot of people.
What is tomorrow? St. Patrick's Day. And even non-Catholics often celebrate St. Patrick's Day. When I was in elementary school, I went to a public school which was mostly Protestant, and there was actually a lot of anti-Catholicism in the school. And yet,
on March 17th, everybody wore green. So even my anti-Catholic Protestant friends celebrated St. Patrick's Day. What is the big deal about St. Patrick's Day? Why is there a huge parade tomorrow in New York City and so many other cities in the United States and Ireland and Great Britain and Australia and other countries? Why such a big deal about St. Patrick? Well, part of it, of course, has to do with the huge numbers of Irish immigrants that left Ireland in the 19th and 20th centuries. Millions had to leave Ireland because of the Great Famine and the persecution by the British. But not only for that reason. The other reason is that St. Patrick was such an amazingly important person in the history of civilization, not only the Catholic Church. So I'd like to talk a little bit about St. Patrick and then show a connection between him and today's reading, today's gospel reading. St. Patrick was born in the year 390 AD in Britain. He was born the son of a deacon, a Catholic deacon, but Patrick never took his Catholic faith very seriously as a teen. He didn't pray. He didn't like going to Mass. He protested to his father that the father kind of forced him to go to Mass. But then at the age of 16, Irish pirates invaded that part of Britain, and they caught Patrick and others and took them off as slaves to Ireland. So here's a 16-year-old kid, separated from his family, separated from his country, working as a shepherd in the mountains of Western Ireland as a slave. And you can imagine how deeply depressed he was. He never prayed before, but now he had a lot of time on his hands up there taking care of the sheep, so he began to pray. And things began to change for him. Let me read from his autobiographical work, which is called The Confession of St. Patrick. Here's what he said about those first years in Ireland as a slave. The love of God and the fear of him surrounded me more and more, and faith grew. And the spirit was roused. I would wake and pray before daybreak, through snow, frost, rain. Nor was there any sluggishness in me, because then the spirit within me was ardent. Ardent means burning. The Holy Spirit was burning inside of this 16-year-old young man because he was praying for the first time, and he was praying with passion. And when a person prays with passion, when a person prays with real trust that God is there and God somehow is going to respond to this prayer, then we begin to experience powerful things in prayer. And that's what happened to Patrick. He began to experience the presence of Jesus Christ with him and in him. And he wrote a prayer, a very beautiful prayer, that describes how his awareness began to change as a result of all those hours of prayer up there in the mountains of Western Ireland. I'll read a little bit of that beautiful prayer. It's called the breastplate of St. Patrick. He used the word breastplate, you know, like a warrior would use to protect him from arrows. Well, he believed this prayer would protect him against evil spirits. And so he said, I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's eyes to look before me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me. From all who wish me ill, afar and anear, alone and in a multitude, against every cruel, merciless power that may oppose my body and soul, Christ with me, Christ in me, Christ on my right, Christ when I sit down, Christ before me, Christ beneath me, Christ on my left, Christ when I arise, Christ behind me, Christ below me, Christ when I lie down, Christ to shield me, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the heart of everyone who speaks of me. This was his experience. These weren't just nice religious words. This was his experience. As a result of all that intense prayer, day after day on those hillsides tending sheep, he began to experience Christ in the world around him, in the lakes, in the mountains, in the forests, in the people. He began to really fall in love with the pagan Irish people. He was there for 7 years as a slave. And then one day he had a revelation from God showing him how to escape. And he followed the instructions. He was able to escape the clutches of his slave owners. And he ended up back in Britain. And when he got there, he had this deep desire to bring this beautiful relationship he had with Jesus Christ to those pagan Irish. And then he had a dream that confirmed his feelings, a dream that there were all these Irish people beckoning him, saying, come, come. And he took that as a sign from God that he was supposed to go back and proclaim the gospel. And he wanted to become a priest in order to do that. So he went, found a bishop in France that trained him to be a priest. And after a number of years, he ordained him a priest and a bishop. And at the age of 42, Patrick returned to Ireland. And he began to evangelize. Now, imagine this. We're talking about at least hundreds of thousands of people, none of whom are Christian, many of whom are very hostile toward Christianity. And he begins to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ for all human beings, to proclaim that God became a human being. And God offers intimacy, closeness, friendship with everyone who accepts him as Lord and Savior. Well, as you can imagine, he was rejected by a lot of people. He was persecuted. And there were wars going on in Ireland. There were a bunch of little petty kingdoms, and kings would be fighting against each other. He began to preach against violence. And he preached the gospel of peace. And within his lifetime, he lived for 30 years there in Ireland. The wars finally stopped. Violence ended, and the slave trade ended. Because of this one man, he began to train priests, and then he ordained some of them bishops, and he established dioceses throughout Ireland. And by the time he died, 30 years later, the entire country practically was Catholic. They had all accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the whole life on that island changed. Now, what's the connection between St. Patrick and today's gospel? Well, Patrick, at one point early on in his time in Ireland as a bishop, realized that he needed a deeper conversion. Now, that sounds maybe kind of strange, because here's this amazing man who's given up his homeland, going off to Ireland to convert the Celtic Irish peoples, but he felt he needed a deeper connection with Christ. And he remembered the story that we heard today in the gospel about Jesus going up on the mountain, praying up there, and being transfigured. So Patrick said, I'm going to do the same thing. And so he found a mountain in northwestern Ireland called Crowpatrick. I was there with my mom and aunt and uncle a few years ago. It's a really impressive, big, craggy, rocky mountain. And from the top, you can see the Atlantic Ocean on one side and this beautiful bay called Clew Bay on your right side. He went up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And what did he do? He reflected on the Word of God. He knew a lot of the Bible by heart. And he had, you know, some manuscripts of the New Testament with him. And he began to read and think and dialogue with the Lord about what he was reading. And after 40 days of this intense kind of prayer, this intense listening to the Lord speaking through the Word, he was transfigured. He was different. He was even fuller of the Holy Spirit, more desire to share the faith with those Irish people. He came down the mountain, and that's what really propelled him to make such a huge difference in the history of the Irish people. And of course, his influence is felt far beyond Ireland, because great numbers of missionaries left Ireland to go back to mainland of Europe after the barbarian invasions had come and who had destroyed so many libraries and churches. Irish missionaries went back to rebuild the faith. And so many millions even came to the United States bringing the Catholic faith and to other parts of the world. So Patrick's influence has been felt around the world. Now, how can we have that same experience? That same experience where he experienced Christ within him, Christ all around him, Christ in the hearts of all those who spoke of him, all those who thought ill of him, all those who thought well of him. How did he come to that point where he had such a deep awareness of the presence of Jesus Christ everywhere? It came from meditating on the Word of God every day. You know, when we think of prayer, we usually think of talking to God, asking God for things, which is fine, but that's not a very deep kind of prayer. The deepest kind of prayer, the prayer that makes saints, is when we listen to God more than talk to God. And so that's why we passed out those little black books a few weeks ago, hoping that everybody would begin to listen more to the Word of God. As you know, you who have the little black books, there's a scripture passage for every day, there's a reflection for every day. And if you didn't get the little black book, use this black book. Use the Bible, the first book of the New Testament. Take the Gospel of Matthew and begin to do what St. Patrick did on top of that mountain. He listened by reading the Word and he thought about it. What does it mean? What is God saying to me through this Word? And then he spoke to the Lord over and over again, and he went deeper and deeper in that conversation with the Lord. And then he had these times when, after he would listen to the Word and speak his heart, he would just sit in silence and enjoy the peace, enjoy that resting in God's presence. We call that contemplation, the deepest form of prayer. And I recommend to all of you, we've got 4 weeks left of Lent, and I would recommend to all of you, do what Patrick did on top of that mountain. Now, for the last few years, I've been talking about 6 minutes a day. Just 6 minutes a day meditating. That's enough to get you started, to get you on the path, to get you listening. But it's not enough. And what I would recommend now to you teens, take those 6 minutes and ramp them up to 10 or 15. And you adults, take your 6 minutes and ramp them up to 20. That may seem like, oh my gosh, from 6 minutes to 20, how am I going to find that time? That time will make more time available for you for other things. Like Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, seek his lordship over your life, and everything else will be given to you. So that's my recommendation to all of us as we move into the third week of Lent. Go on top of a mountain symbolically. Find some time in your bedroom, in your living room, in your garden, in your car, in the church. Take your little black book, take your Bible, the Gospel of Matthew, and follow the same simple steps that St. Patrick did on the mountain. Listen to the Lord speaking to you as you read the scriptures. Meditate on it. Think about, what does it mean to you? What is God saying to you? And then respond. Speak to him. Whatever's on your mind, whatever you're going through, whatever your needs are, whatever your joys are, open up. Speak your heart to the Lord. And then read a little bit more. Think about, what does that mean? Open up your heart. Speak a little more. And then just sit in quiet. Just sit quietly. Enjoy the peace. Enjoy the silence. Enjoy resting in God's presence. If we do this regularly, we're going to find that the same thing is going to happen to us that happened to St. Patrick. We're going to find that our face radiates that same light of Jesus Christ.